Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns, and today I am clearly doing an outside recording, so hopefully you can enjoy some of the bird and nature sounds, because it does actually sound quite fabulous, in my personal opinion anyway. So today what I thought I would talk about was a little bit coming off my previous rant about equipment that ties horses' heads down, and really talk about, you know, what is the aim? Like, what are we actually trying to achieve? Because all of those things that I mentioned, you know, were brought to me and taught to me in an attempt to help the horse go better. You know, the idea is that we ask them to go in a particular frame because it allows them to do their job more easily, and that job is carrying the weight of a rider on their back. And so, you know, if the answer isn't tying their head down, then what is the answer? How do we do that? How do we have them, you know, on the bit, and how do we have them through, and how do we have them engaged and lifting their back and all those things that we actually talk about? What does that actually mean, and how do we do that? And I think, first of all, the thing to remember in all this is that the aim is that the horse uses their body in a way where they bring their power from the back end, they then lift their back, and then as a natural result of that, the neck ends up rounder and potentially the head ends up lower, depending on the horse's natural carriage. Perhaps the head actually ends up higher, but regardless, they end up in this round shape. And I think the problem is that we have this idea that if we have the horse's head down, or we have them in a round shape, that will lift the back, and that is what will help the hind end do its job. And I think that's the problem. It's like, you know, we hear over and over again, you know, ride them from the back to the front, not the front to the back, rah, 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 rah. But I think somewhere in there, all too often, what I hear is this really genuine belief that if I can get the horse to lower its head, it will lift its back. And the truth is, maybe it will and maybe it won't. The truth is that what happens is when the horse lifts their back, they then lower their head. So that's all well and good. So what do we do about that then? Because it's really easy to figure out ways and means of getting the horse to lower their head, whether we're riding, whether we're on the ground, whether we're lunging, whatever. There's, you know, endless ways and means to get the horse to lower their head. But how do we actually ask them to lift their back? So I'm going to talk about groundwork, and I'm going to talk about lunging here, because I think the ridden stuff is a whole other conversation that I just don't really want to get into in this particular podcast, maybe further down the line. But in terms of the groundwork and even the lunging, I think part of it is being okay with where the horse's head is. I think that's honestly the first step. And to start really thinking about what we're actually wanting, which is for the horse's back to raise. So for the horse's back to raise, generally, if you think about yourself, so if you sit or stand straight, depending on where you are, if you're walking or something like that, if you stop walking for a second and you stand, and I want you to kind of arch your back as if you're sticking your tail out like a duck. So, you know, think of arching your back, creating a really big arch in your back. And then I want you to think of tucking your tail under. So rolling your pelvis so that your tail is tucked under and you're almost arching your back the other way. And so what you notice is that I asked you to tuck your tail under. I didn't ask you to slouch to create that arch the other way. So the arch is the other way is a flexion. It's not a slouch. It comes from muscle activation rather than muscle relaxation. So what I hope you notice is that in order to tuck your tail under, you had to probably use your tummy muscles a little bit. And the feeling was almost like pulling your pubic bone up rather than letting your rib cage fall down. And really, that's what we're talking about with the horses. It's like, how can we get them to tuck their back end under them. And if you think about that, that requires abdominal muscles. And then what naturally happens then is that the back would lift. So if you were on all fours, it would be like your cat camel thing in yoga. And we do that by using our abdominals to tuck our pelvis under. And essentially that's what we're looking for from the horse. And if you noticed, you didn't have to do anything with your head to achieve that. And I promise you, if you do go on all fours, I invite you to, obviously, you know, not if you're driving and, you know, I mean, you can, if you're walking in public, that's fine. I won't judge you. I'd congratulate you a little bit, but you know, each to their own. But at some point, if you do that, you would notice that really, you don't have to move your head to do that particular motion. But what you will probably find is that if you are on all fours and you tuck your pelvis under, it may make it slightly harder for you to lift your head and look at the sky. Slightly. It's not going to make it impossible, but slightly. But you certainly don't have to tuck your chin in order to tuck your tail. Okay. So, first of all, thinking that way. So then we can think about what would ask the horse or get the horse to tuck their tail. And I don't mean literally their tail. I mean to bring their back legs under them more, to rotate their pelvis so that they bring their back legs under them more. And essentially that's done by their tummy muscles. So what is going to turn on their tummy muscles? So these are going to be things like hilts, like backing up, like doing poles, like doing thoughtful circles, etc., etc. So it's going to take a little bit of energy, but without excessive tension, because we know that when horses get tense, the first thing that they do is they drop their back. They turn off their tummy muscles, drop their back. So we want to do it without stress. So the thing I really love is, you know, I personally love giving people exercises from Tellington Touch. I think that they just do really beautiful, thoughtful groundwork that genuinely improves the horse's physical and mental state and their physical and mental way of going. And one of their, you know, really core principles is that we do things within the horse's abilities. We're not constantly taking the horse to the limit of what they can physically or mentally cope with. We're staying within where the horse can actually cope, they can process, they can learn, and they can feel a little bit empowered. So we're not constantly showing them their limitations. And so, you know, I hear people say, oh, just backing up and just doing poles and whatever. And I try and stay away from it usually because I think it's done to excess. We do it to the point where it brings out fatigue, it hits the horse's limitations, and it's therefore no longer useful. So I'm going to say this and say, really, less is more. If you can get 3 really good quality steps from your horse and they do it well, that's great. That deserves a break and a pat and some processing time before you start again. So slower is really genuinely better. And I always say this in terms of, you know, humans and horses, that if we want to build neural pathways, so build new ways of being, new ways of moving, new ways of thinking, they are done best when we have time to process, when we're relaxed enough to take in new information and to think about it. And when the movements, if we're talking about neural pathways in terms of movements, when the movements are slow and small and deliberate. So as soon as we add huge, big movements and speed, we're immediately lowering the effectiveness. We're lowering the ability for that neural pathway to really, quote unquote, stick. We want something that's reproducible, that we can build upon basically endlessly, indefinitely, over the horse's life. We want to gradually help them feel better and better and better. And the general rule with that is to go slow, to go fast. So what I'm talking about here is, you know, if you ask your horse to take a step back or take a couple of steps back, to do that really thoughtfully, to ask them in a way that gets them to do that really thoughtfully. And potentially that's from, you know, touching their sternum or touching their chest rather than just pulling on the head collar. And maybe, yes, you add a little bit of pressure on the head collar, but not enough for the horse to lean back against you. you want to think, okay, well, what would get them to turn on their stomach? So if I press on the horse's chest, and you can almost think of pressing up on the horse's chest, to some extent, they're going to think of lifting that chest and then stepping back. And that's really what we want, rather than them leaning hard against the head collar and kind of dragging themselves back like a camel. The same when we think of going up hills. If you think about, you know, runners or walkers or whatever, we lose form when we get tired with anything that we do. So in terms of the hills, we don't want it to be such steep hills that we're getting into that area of fatigue. If our aim is to build posture, then we don't want to enter the area of fatigue. If our aim is to simply build muscle, then we do. But there's no point building muscle on top of a posture that is less than ideal. All we're doing there is reinforcing what we already have. So when I talk about doing hills, I personally think hills are best done, if we're talking about groundwork, by leading off another horse. And the reason I say this is because the other horse is much more easily able to keep an appropriate horse pace than what we are. We are likely to be too slow. That's just the fact of it. And when we're likely to be too slow, we're not going to be walking at their normal pace, which means that they're essentially going to be, you know, minimizing the use of their hind end, because they're not going to be walking at their own pace. They're going to kind of be shuffling along next to us, and we really want them to walk at a normal pace, not a hurried pace, but a normal pace. And we want to pick a hill that is neither too steep nor too long. We want to give them plenty of breaks, give them the chance to recuperate in between. And we want to pull up and finish that particular exercise before they get tired. This is not to build cardiovascular strength. This is not to put on muscle. This is to change the horse's posture. So therefore, less is more. Now, when I talk about poles, I do sometimes mean going over poles. I personally have my favorite exercise, which is set up like a fan, where we walk the horse over the fan and then do a turn on the forehand to change direction and walk the horse back over the fan the other way. Now, poles, I will say, it's really hard to describe what I'm talking about over a podcast. So if you want a PDF of these particular exercises, email me. I'll put my email in the show notes. But email me and I'll give you a PDF of the exercise that I'm talking about, because it's hard to describe it. So I particularly like that one if we're talking about going over the poles. If we, however, follow a T-touch pattern, which is called the labyrinth, I also think that's really brilliant, because it requires the horse to think about where their feet are. It requires bend. It requires engagement. It requires them to think about lifting the shoulders a little, turning the tummy on a little, rocking their weight back, really thinking. And as a handler, it makes us really accountable for where every single step is going. So these are just a few of my favorite things in terms of getting the horses to lift their tummy. There's obviously a million others, but my point here is that if you do these types of things where the horse lifts their back, I can guarantee, I will put money on it, that your horse will end up lowering their head. They will end up going in the frame that you want, and they will do it without force from you. There will be no arguments, there'll be no force, and it will stick. It will last. You will actually go slow to go fast. You'll see progress much, 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 much quicker than you think, and much, much, much quicker than if you use force, if you try and, you know, drive from behind into some sort of restriction in front. And yeah, you're just going to see better progress there. So I hope this has been interesting. I hope it's been thought-provoking. I hope that it's something that you try with your own horses or think about with your own horses. And yeah, I hope you have fun together. Oh, as usual, I always forget this bit. As usual, if you want to keep up with my work, follow what I'm doing, I'm at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. So reach out, like, share, follow, all of those sorts of things. If you do the review for the podcast, apparently that makes it go further or something. All those things. Anyway, have a beautiful week.